And good evening and welcome to African Rhythms. My name is David Love Jones, and we've got a very special show tonight because basically we're going to overview the entire history of one of the biggest local soul legends. His name's Jason Hoover, and he moved here from Edmonton, Alberta in 1964. His first band, Jason Hoover and the Epics, the band that he joined, was on local TV and put out the fantastic Live at the Grooveyard. And then from then, he went on to Anvil Chorus, some other funk and soul things, Anvil Chorus being a funky soul and rock kind of a band. So welcome to African Rhythms, Jason Hoover.
Hey, David Love Jones.
Wow, we got you up here. We're about to unearth and record and talk about some of the most important local soul history. I mean, our friend Bobby Taylor in Hong Kong, we got him down. But
that was a great show. But I think that was one of your best shows. I just love it. I've heard it twice now, you know. It was just, you were too much. This man, let me tell you, everybody, stories about me tonight, but the real story is David Love Jones. He is from England, and he has dropped in here, and he has made and kept soul and disco and funk and R&B. He has kept it alive in this city.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah, no, I mean, it means a lot to me, the soul music, but I mean, especially being from Canada, I think particularly, and here in Vancouver, that, you know, the history here, the story just really hasn't been told, and it's not being archived particularly well. But thanks to Rob at Neptune Records, he's helped us put together. I managed to come up with some of your 45s that came out in the late 60s and early 70s. And then Rob came up with, in addition to some of the stuff we didn't have, he came up with 7 unreleased tracks. So we've got an incredible show ahead of us,
Woo!
My friend.
I'm telling you, it blows my mind. Yeah. This guy, David, is too much. I love you, David. You come up with things that is blowing me away. I mean, part of my history coming back, I mean, it's like flashbacks. It's like being on LSD and all of us in the flashback.
Well, I mean, it had to be told, Jason. Now, we've got a friend of ours, David George, in the studio, and we're going to be talking to him a little bit later about his documenting local black culture that he's putting together.
That's going to be wonderful, man.
Yeah.
This is what we need in this area.
Well, listen, my friend, let's start at the beginning. I mean, you moved here from Edmonton, Alberta in 64. And there was a flourishing local Vancouver soul and R&B scene. Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, let me tell you. I was going to school. I was finishing my grade 12 in Edmonton and Bonnie Doon High School. I had a band called Jumpin' Jay and the Chantels, and we were the number one R&B group because we were the only one in Edmonton. Everybody told me, hey, if you want to really do something with this music you're playing, you should go to Vancouver. Mm. So I kept getting this everywhere I went, and not that they didn't like us, but they loved us. But they wanted me to go, because they couldn't see it happening for a long period there. Mm. We made history there, Jumpin' Jay and the Chantels, by being the first underage band to play in an adult cabaret. Mm. And the thing was that we could play, but we could not come out front after we played our sets. We had to go into the dressing room, all right? But you know what? We played, 8 clubs all over Alberta.
Because so you got a lot of experience by them back in Alberta.
Oh, Alberta was definitely my starting point, you know.
Mm, yeah.
We had a nice band. It wasn't the greatest band, but it was a nice band. Mm. But anyways, I jumped on a train with my saxophone player, and we moved out here to Vancouver. Now, I was into singing in the cabarets because it was all kind of cabarets and it was auditions every day. So I heard about this. I said, okay, fine. I went to the first place was Smiling Buddha. Smiling right. Buddha went there, the man. Oh, he loved how I was entertaining on the floor shows. He said I had lots of energy and everything. I was getting paid $50 and much food I want to eat, come and eat during the day, whatever. That was it.
$50 wasn't bad, though.
Back in those days, $50 was great. I mean, a rooming house was, if you wanted to stay at a rooming house, was $7, David. And $7 or $9, whichever one, you know, was the nicest. And that was cheap. Everything was cheap back in those days, you know. So $50 was fine. But I did ask him for a raise one day after about 4 weeks there, because I was thinking of going to the New Delhi. So that's another club. And I said to Lashman, he says, I said, listen, I need another $25, you know, raise. He says, oh, Jason, I don't need you. I got Real Johnson. I got Tony Hatteras. I got Harry Walker. They all play for 50 and eat food. They know I don't go no favors.
Was this before the Epics, son?
Oh, yeah, this is before I even went out for your audition with the Epics. Yeah. The funny thing was, though, the bass player had from the Epics replaced one of the guys that couldn't play the show for a whole week.
Mm.
So he got hip to me, and he says, went back to his band and says, we gotta hire this guy.
Hi, I hope you like soul music, because that's what we're presenting today on Let's Go. I'm Jason Hoover, these are the Epics.
So the original singer of the Epics, you replaced him?
No, we sang together.
Sang together.
Yeah. When I went to see them, I was blown away. They were such a tight group. This group was something like out of like Los Angeles. I mean, they had talent like up the yin yang. I mean, every position was powerful. The keyboard player, the guitar player, and the bass player who actually discovered me down at Smiling Buddha, and the drummer who was the leader of the band. They were all professional, and it made the music easy, and it was so soulful. White fellows.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm a black guy, and the lead singer is a black guy. And we're related about, third or fourth, you know.
Well, I guess Bobby was the first band. I mean, he was the first one before Sly Stone and whatever.
Yeah, Bobby was the first, man. We all looked up to Bobby. He was the man. He was, you know, that was it. To be like Bobby Taylor was.
Bobby, for listeners who don't know, got signed to Motown, and he was around Vancouver at that same time. In fact, he may have actually written two of Michael Jackson's biggest tracks, and he was in touch with Michael Jackson until he died, actually. So that's another very interesting story. But, okay, so the Epics, we're going to listen to a couple tracks from this record, Live at the Grooveyard.
Yeah.
So this is a couple of years in for you guys playing.
Oh, man, I think the
67, right?
67, there you go.
Yeah, so you guys have been practicing for a while at this point.
We were so psyched up. It was like a football team.
Yeah.
We went out there full speed, man. We slowed down for nobody. It was like a good soccer game.
And it wasn't really live, right?
And it wasn't really live. That's true. It was done out of...
Dispel the myth.
It was done out of one of the best studios in town, which I forget right now, but I forget the guy's name. And he's a wonderful producer. I can't think of his name.
We'll inform the listeners when we come back. All right, well, let's listen to It's Growing and Knock on Wood. This is live in Vancouver, 1967, at the Grooveyard.
Go ahead with your bad self. You're too much.
Ladies and gentlemen, is Jason Hoover and the Epics, incredibly, live in Vancouver in 1967.
It was too much. It was really a wonderful time, you know, wonderful time, wonderful era during that time. It was one of my best times in Vancouver, being Jason Hoover and the Epics. It was like the launch, actually, that shot us into being one of the popular bands in the Northwest, not just here in Vancouver, but Seattle and all the places in between.
It's neat, at least, that they got the album out, just in terms of it started to get your name around. But really, when we get to the next phase, when we talk about one of your own singles, I think that's when things really progress.
Oh, yes. But, you know, it was a situation where we were so happy to be on a vinyl, on a record. It was... You're playing more of it.
Here, let me turn that down a little bit. This is, we're listening in the background to instrumental track, the Epics. What's this one called? Cleo's Move?
Cleo's Back.
Yeah, Cleo's Back.
Yeah.
Was that Junior Walker?
Junior Walker, man, yeah. He was one of the greatest of all times. He's now the dearly departed. But that man has songs that I still would love to do on stage. I did a few of them. Mm. There's so many. Man, the man was a writer. He was very entertaining. I seen him in Seattle. No, I saw him in Portland. Mm. He was really something else, man.
Well, tell me about these other bands on here. I mean, I know the Nocturnals, they're kind of a garage rock band.
Nocturnals are like a legend. Stags, they were there, but Soul Unlimited was another tough band that was always pushing us.
I've got to see my way through.
Train review. Myself,
this is all
Jason
live at the
Epics. We were the big ones in this city, okay?
Yeah, but it's neat though. I mean, but where are these bands now? I mean, a lot of these are forgotten names, you know. I mean, the Nocturnals are known, but a lot of the other bands are unknown.
We played out at the Boulevard Casino, and we played it in that fellow, what's his name? My brain's not working very much anymore. Anyways, he has a studio. And he has his club and lounge, and we played there, and I believe the Nocturnals played, and so did Soul Unlimited, and the Epics played with me, as well as the Night Train Review.
Yeah, well, that's basically the Vancouver, and then Bobby Taylor, and, you know, that was the Vancouver soul scene back then. I mean, these were the bands, and, you know, you became a part of the scene. We're going to listen to another track in a minute from Live at the Grooveyard, the Turn Back the Hands of Time.
Yeah, that was a good tune.
Yeah.
And it was really wonderful to do.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, let's listen to that next time. You're a arranger on this stuff. Ended up writing for Motown. And what was his name again?
His name was
Tom?
Tom Baird, thank you very much. Tom was the only white guy to ever work in Motown, like you were doing now, working all the things. Yeah. He had a piano, they got a piano.
He was a songwriter for the Supremes, right?
For the Supremes, the Four Tops.
And this was after he was your arranger.
Yeah. And then he started, he arranged a lot of groups. Yeah. A lot of their music, and it wasn't even...
But he started out locally in Vancouver.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And then Bobby Taylor getting signed to Motown, was he the one that helped get him the job there?
I think Bobby helped him very much, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to Turn Back the Hands of Time next. And this is Live at the Grooveyard, and this is Jason Hoover and the Epics. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, African Rhythms Radio. played live at the Grooveyard here in Vancouver back in 1967. And, you know, what's coming up next will be your first single on New Syndrome Records, which was a local label. Tell me a little bit about New Syndrome. How did that all come about, or who owned that label?
Just hold on. Now, you're saying it was a local label. It was, New Syndrome was a local label, but it was financed by Warner Brothers.
Oh, I see. It had a major label back then.
A major label. Warner Brothers wanted us to sign us, but these people wouldn't let them. We didn't know this till it was all over, but Warner Brothers wanted us to sign a contract and just do Warner Brothers tunes. So, but the people that were handling, the people that we were naive, the people that knew what was going on wanted to keep us, and they gave us studio time and told us to give us a studio. Said, look, after midnight, you guys do anything you want to. Don't even talk to about, we don't care about the money. Just produce, write, record, do it, okay? So this is our first attempt. And Jack Hershen and I went over to the studio. I forget the name of the studio. And we mixed this after we had played it. We went to Aragon Studios and tried it with Les Vaught. It didn't work. It didn't come out. But 2 weeks later, we had it down after rehearsing the tune because we knew we had something there.
Yeah, no, this is a great song, and it's got a really Atlantic Stax Wilson Pickett kind of groove.
That's where we were aiming. You know, Bobby was Motown. We wanted to be Stax. You know, we wanted to be there.
Wow. Well, let's check it out. This is the debut single from Jason Hoover. It's called King Size.
Yes, 1969.
We
The Trials of Jason Hoover. Before that, we heard the debut single, King Size. And that certainly sounds like the late 60s psychedelia era. So King Size, it was a bit of a smash. It went over well. Like, it was a hit in Toronto, too, right?
It was number one in Portland, Oregon. And they were the first to jump on it.
Prince George.
Yeah, Prince George is number one. You remember that, too. But right across Canada, they had it. And we when you play New Brunswick and stuff, yeah. And I wasn't Jason Hoover in the Epics at the time, they had heard King Size. And it blew my mind because they didn't let us know. I'm talking the guys, I'm going to mention their names because they're sitting up in Government Hill or BC Hill or wherever it is, sitting pretty in their beautiful homes over in the West Vancouver. Mm. And we're talking about Snow and Harding. That's all I'll leave it. Okay, I'll just leave it like that. Their last names are Snow and Harding. Mm. And what were we thinking? We were in the studio anytime you wanted to. It didn't cost us. And then we got the tapes. And, you know, those tapes were at that time about $70, you know, for the big one, you know, for the 16-track or 32-track. Mm. And we had the studio anytime we wanted it. If it wasn't being used by somebody else, but that's what we started doing it in the midnight, you know?
Right. You do it after the other musicians, like at Mushroom Studios. You would. What was Mushroom called originally again?
Aragon Studios.
Aragon Studios, yes. Yeah. So you would, if the artist was there till midnight, you'd go from midnight till 10 a.m. or something.
Oh, man. I told you one time we were mixing now, and I was finished until 1:30 in the afternoon. But you see, we had all that energy. We had all that we wanted to make it big, man. We wanted to get up. That's all we cared about. We didn't. We weren't using them. We knew we weren't using them because they've promised that they're going to get us a record deal.
Well, King Size, I mean, that seems to me like, I mean, it was enough of a hit and it was good enough that should have warranted an album at that point.
You know? That's right. But yeah. Then again, see, the fight was Warner Brothers wanted to do the album thing. Mm.
That's a sign away your rights,
basically. That's right. They kept him on the edge of, you know, and kept him away from what they wanted to do. See, if we went with them, they lost what their plans were. Their plans were to go over, we didn't know this at the time, was to go over to Europe and sell the actual recording to other record companies.
Right, yeah.
The actual recording. So they said, oh, yeah,
well,
we own it in Canada, you own it in Switzerland, you own it in France, you own it in Belgium, you own it in Switzerland, and England, okay?
The corrupt music business, basically.
It was heavy, but we knew nothing about the politics of it.
How soon did the Trials of Jason Hoover, and then why did that name come about, and how soon later did the last song, We Were Happy, come out?
Okay. We Were Happy came out, I write about 6 months after King Size had died.
Oh, wow.
Down, right?
But so, it's quite a bit of a different sound.
Yeah. But it was brought up by a guy from Warner Brothers who worked with Warner Brothers. I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah.
Actually, he's famous for doing a couple of things, like, you know.
He kind of wanted to
songs for movies, like Miami Vice. I think he did. Yeah, he did Miami Vice.
Okay.
And he did another couple. But, you know, that's the kind of guy. But he brought this up, and he knew King Size. He'd heard it. Yeah. And he's close to my manager and good friend, Jack Hirshhorn.
Yeah.
Now, Jack was always promoting me, and he was a good salesman. He knew what he was doing. So this guy came up with a song called We Were Happy that shot right across Canada and made it like an average of number four.
Who came up with this guy came up with the name Trials of Jason Hoover.
Oh, who came up with the name of Trials of Jason Hoover was actually, I guess you would call him Jack Hirshhorn, because we had a bus. I mean, our bus looked like a circus truck. It was purple. Mm. It had a gavel on it, and it was in yellow.
Purple haze.
On purple, there was yellow Trials of Jason Hoover, right?
Wow. So that was a short-lived name, though. I mean, it was only used for about a year.
No.
Yeah.
Trials of Jason Hoover
couple of years?
Was the first name before Anvil Chorus.
Right.
Anvil Chorus came, they were the short...
Well, first the Epics, and first then the Trials of Jason Cuva, and then Anvil Chorus.
We broke up at the surf club.
Yeah.
And it was sad, but we wanted to go forward with songs like, you know, Sly and the Family Stone. We wanted to get up there with what was all right.
All right, yeah. So here's words. You're listening to David Love Jones and special guest Jason Hoover, soul and funk legend from Vancouver, Canada.
CATR is proud to sponsor the 17th Amnesty International Film Festival, taking place November 2nd through the 4th at Pacific Cinema Theatre in downtown Vancouver. The festival will show 9 films from around the world, which will highlight a variety of human rights matters and will include guest speakers, the presence of other community groups, and ways for the public to take action on said matters. So come join in on one of the biggest human rights film festivals in the country. For more information or to buy tickets, you can check out www.amnesty.ca/VFF.
Midweek Roots Music Fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, 2 eclectic hours of roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR-FM 101.9, and www.citr.ca.
Consequence when the feeling's there to make the music beautiful and fine.
Vancouver, Seoul, and funky rock and psych rock, if you will. It's local history, and that's Jason Hoover's next band from 1970, Anvil Chorus.
It's true. They put down Anvil Chorus. It was a rebelling thing from the band. They were tired of the truck and me getting all the attention going through Illinois and stuff. You know what I mean? It was a trip, and I understand. So they wanted to have a group thing. They didn't want me to leave. They wanted to make sure I was there. But it didn't make any difference when the records we found out later that was shipped off to Europe and sold to different record companies right there, they had it featuring Jason Hoover, Anvil Chorus featuring Jason Hoover.
So Anvil Chorus was only a band that you were in that was more leaning towards rock and soul, if you will.
Rock, I would say they were leaning to rock and blues.
Yeah, rock and blues. But it was only, you were only together for a few months, in fact.
3 months the band existed.
Well, we've got some unreleased material as well that we're going to drop from that band. But, I mean, tell me about this next track, Rhythm is the Way.
Okay, now Rhythm is the Way is a song I wrote with Jimmy. We had fun in our bus, the trials. We had lots of time. We had a table. We played cards on. We had beds. We were set up. And we enjoyed, but we did a lot of creating there. We did a lot of creating.
Right, so this is back. So this will be slightly before Anvil Chorus.
This was recorded. And remember, the name Anvil Chorus is put on stuff that Charles Jason Hoover, we always thought.
I see. Right.
But by the band Rebellion, and I was such a soft touch, I said, fine. I'll go right on ahead, you know. They said, well, you're our singer, you know. You're our front guy. I says, all right, let's just do it, the records, man. So here we go, the song that I produced as well as wrote along with Jimmy.
Well, you wrote it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And it was one of my fun songs. It became a song that was in a French movie. And we didn't know about that either.
Wow. All right, one last track. And then after that, we're going to get back into some more stuff from Anvil Chorus. But this is one more track, Trials of Jason Hoover. Rhythm is the Way.
Bump, 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 bump
incredible funk and soul. You can definitely hear a little bit of the Sly Stone influence there. What a track, Jason. What a track, right? That's Jason Hoover here live on Africa Rhythms, local Vancouver soul music history happening right here and right now. Wow, what a track. I'm just still so blown away every time I hear that track. Rhythm is the Way. And that was 72, so Trials of Jason Hoover before and after your sort of semi-psych rock band Anvil Chorus. You carried on using the name, and that was 72.
That was for peacemaking, so the band didn't feel inferior to me, or the fact that I might go out on my own. Mm. It was sort of like getting a harness on me, and yet, you know, showing me love, and yet we're all equal. This is what it was all about.
Wow, that's a great insight. Yeah, well, listen, this Rust to Dust, I mean...
Rust to Dust is a knockout.
Yeah, well, I mean, but Rhythm is the Way. You were saying you opened for Led Zeppelin.
Yes,
Jimmy Page liked that one.
They had heard this.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome.
They told me, we did the show, we opened for a Soft Machine and Led Zeppelin before the White Album, before
Led Zeppelin 1, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was kind
or
of...
Or around weird. That time, anyway.
They were having us hanging around with them at the Georgia Hotel. They told us that they'd really appreciate our presence.
Yeah, and then they liked Rust to Dust as well.
Oh,
the next song we're doing.
Oh, yeah, then they liked Rhythm is the Way. Those are the only two that they heard on the pirate station, is it called, in England?
Yeah.
Okay, but we went
they
up there.
Heard it in England on a pirate.
We went
that's
up
so
there.
Crazy. big up to the English for discovering undiscovered things. But
let me tell you, they were wonderful to us. Yeah. But, you know, we played 60 Minute Man, which will be coming up later at the hotel for them, and they went crazy, and they wouldn't give him back my single. They hung on to it, man.
All right, well, listen, this next track, Rust to Dust, I mean, you're going to really hear the heavy rock, psych rock kind of influence that for a moment, this is the direction Jason Hoover was going in, the funky rock, psych rock kind of direction. It's exciting stuff. Let's check it out. I'm David. You're listening to African Rhythms. We're here on CITR 101.9 FM, CITR.ca. Tune in and check out my podcasts.
It's wonderful.
Incredible local track, Trials of Jason Hoover. That was Jason's band in the early 70s, and Freedom Train, We Are All People. Great, yes. Great songs.
Whoa. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, man. Especially because I wrote them. You know, I really appreciate it. So I tried hard.
Yeah, well, Freedom Train, so that I imagine was a bit of a hit. I mean, it's very it's accessible.
It was a song that was brought up by this fellow in Los Angeles that brought up We Are Happy. It's same people, but this time we got a producer. Now, I've been doing all the producing for everything before Freedom Train. And he was our first producer.
Right.
So I learned a lot from him. You know, I learned how to handle people now. Instead of, you know, begging and pleading, I knew how now to handle
Yeah, the sound is getting, you know, slicker, more sophisticated.
Yes,
but
yeah,
you went many, you went, yeah, you went many directions. I mean, it's, you know, to archive it all, it's hard. You know, there's a lot of stuff you were doing. I mean, you know, for a short while, like the heavy rock nature of Rust to Dust, Holy Moly. And then the next minute, Freedom 60
Minute
Train.
Man really yeah. was the one.
Yeah,
that's
what's coming up next, 60 Minute Man. Like, wow, you know, like just what incredible Vancouver history and just, what a tragedy it's not better known in Canada or even just in North America. I mean, take music colleges like the British to really...
Led Zeppelin stole my original first copy, is not to be sold, you know, before the pressing.
They took it away.
They took it away, man. They thought it was something else, man. Yeah.
So did
Burton Cummings and the management from his management, Burton Cummings from the Guess Who. They all loved this tune, man. They was say, what is happening? Why, you know, wow.
David, our friend in the studio here, David George, he's brought up an important point about your diversity and how, in some respects, it made other people at times jealous, competitive, and exploitive of your talents, really.
Well, that's sad to hear, because all I wanted to do was sing and entertain. Mm. I never judged anybody else who was in the music business. I just smiled and said, you know, go on and do it, because that's where I was at. I didn't have time for politics or calling names or even making what I thought about everybody else. Mm.
You were doing it for the right reasons.
I had tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And that was it.
But David, tell us, I know that you've been documenting local black culture, because maybe you could just tell us a little bit about that.
I feel like I'm stepping in on Jason's time here, but
yeah.
Just very quickly, when I first started art projects, I noticed that there was no documentation on people of color creativity. I couldn't find any anyways.
Absolutely.
So from the very first group exhibit, I made sure that there was always documentation from the minute the presentation started till the end. And that started in 1992. And throughout the 90s, we had all this footage. Finally, I have been able to transfer all the analog material onto digital disc.
Wonderful.
I've got a couple of rough edits. And you've just thrown a spanner in the works by... finding Jason.
That's wonderful that you're documenting local black culture, because absolutely, like, it has not, you know, it's incredible injustice, and not enough things like this are going on, and there's so much rich histories, as you can see, just, you know, one artist and one experience here in local Vancouver scene, and just what an incredible rich history, like, unbelievable. I mean, even just sitting here talking to him, just the depth of it and length and breadth of depth of it are profound, really.
It's rather overwhelming. As I'm listening to the music, I couldn't help but reflect on what were the visuals like then. And I'm sure we're going to find some.
All right.
You've got material from the 1966, 65 TV show that was
here. I've got all that stuff.
Yeah. Where you're doing
I've got live TV shows. I got that you would really love to see.
Perfect. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to... I sincerely hope we work together, you know, as a community, and that's what it's all about.
Really, that's the way I thought.
Yeah. But it's us, Siobhan.
Yeah, Siobhan Barker.
Siobhan, yeah. Fantastic. She's like the local version of Maya Angelou. Like, she's just an incredible spoken word artist, and we're absolutely going to do a show when I come back on the air in December.
Yeah, very, very powerful.
Yeah, you know, she's just... and I know that you know some other talents. We're definitely going to get into all of that later, my friend.
Yeah, well, just very briefly, the goal is, short-term, is to present an art exhibit, and part of that exhibit includes some stills and briefs from the documentation.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, I really look forward to doing the show with you and expanding on this whole thing. Whatever way that I can help you or work with you, I'm more than happy.
Thank you for the support.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You very much.
That's David George, our local...
visual expressionist. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm exploring the arts, and I like to use different mediums, but to define my work, visual expressionist covers it quite nicely.
That sounds great. Well, I look forward to learning more about that. Well, let's get back to your music, Jason. And this is 60 Minute Man. Tell us a little bit about what year is this, 72?
Yeah, it's either end of 71 or 72. But I do know it was right close after we did the concert, opened for Led Zeppelin at the Pacific Coliseum. We opened for Soft Machine and Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin came to us. I didn't go there. I wasn't grouping them. They grouped me. And they wanted... They said that you are fine, man. You guys are great. We thought we did horrible. They said, man, you guys are ass kickers. Oh, come, man, we got to meet you guys. You guys come to our hotel. We're staying at the Georgia. And, you know, just tell them, you know, they bought the whole floor out. Are you ready? I mean, there's only four guys in the band. They bought the whole floor out.
Decadent rock 70s bands. Yeah, well, here it is. Jason Hoover and 60 Minute Men.
Yeah.
that, ladies and gentlemen, is my guest for the whole evening tonight, the history of local Vancouver soul music, Jason Hoover. We're now into unreleased tracks that have never been heard by anybody. That's Captain Bobby Spock, complete with a funky drum break.
That's right.
Tell us about that one, buddy. What happened to that?
Captain Bobby Stout. Well, I was in New York and in Quebec. I was picking up on these songs. These are covers for other songs, and they didn't make it, but ours were very interesting. People that heard our version of it is completely different. Matter of fact, if you heard the original version, you wouldn't believe that it was the same song. But that was Captain Bobby Stout. He done found me out. And I owe the man one more, yeah. And he says, I owe the man one more, yeah. And he says, brother, why are you here? Brother, why are you here? Ooh! Captain Bobby Stout don't find me now. And I owe the man another year. Said I owe man another year. That was fun. That was fun.
That was great. Yeah, well, listen, we got another unreleased one. Martha's Madman. What's this one all about?
Oh, that's tough. Yeah. This story is about a woman who thought she had a life to last forever and bumped into the wrong character. And it was her madman. She thought that she was in love with this man. This man is out to kill her. And that's what the lyrics are about. Listen very carefully. Very tough.
Wow, the world has never heard this track exclusive here on African Rhythms.
Yes.
This is Jason Hoover, Martha's Madman.
Madman standing, hidden in the shadows, with a long curved Turkish dagger and a bejeweled hat. Guess you'll have to wait another 1,000 years.
Jason Hoover, thanks to Rob at Neptune. You're incredible, Rob. You hooked me up with every Jason Hoover track related. You had them all. It's amazing. You know, big up to Neptune Records for putting out Live at the Grooveyard or re-releasing it as well. But we're going out. Our last two tracks are going to be from your Mushroom, your one and only album.
Yes, true.
Some of the musicians were from L.A., King Erickson. So there was a connection between Mushroom Studios and L.A.
Yeah, well, we went down there to make sure we had the best musicians possible everywhere. And there is in a hole. It's like having a hockey team that's it's got us best players on the ice, and that's what we had in this album.
Yeah, well, both of these tracks are internationally known, shall we say.
Oh, yeah.
They're both Sing With Soul and Show Me Some Slack.
Sing With Soul, I wrote that.
No, this is a great track.
Like, and show me some slack. I wrote that too.
Yeah, no, your talent has not been documented enough. I hope this show goes, you know, some way into people out there in the world finding out about you, or more people finding out. And yeah, we've got to get some of this stuff out.
I'd love
a 45 again. Yeah, no, I really hope we can do that, my friend. Once again, yeah. Jason Hoover from his one and only Mushroom Records album from the... What year is this from?
We're talking 1974. Woo!
When I was a young man, I was raised in the Lower East Side of this city, and I learned many things. You could say I got my schooling here, understand? You see, I used to work at my daddy's bar, dig? And here is where I learned the most important thing. So, you know what I mean? So, Jack. Daddy's bar wasn't much, but it was very, very funky. Now let me tell you about it. I can remember it just like yesterday, when Georgia Sam, the local man, pulled up in his long, long pink Cadillac. And sometimes he would bring in a couple of girls he'd been working late that night. The soulful women, the women who knows how to love, 'cause they make their living at it. When these girls was feeling down, they go out to the back room and start clapping their hands and singing, carrying on. And I thought, now what kind of a song could make these women happy when they were feeling so blue? So one night I went out to the back room and I asked one of the girls. She just looked at me and said, "Son, it don't matter what you sing, as long as you sing with soul." Never forgotten, and a feeling I carry with me all the time, 'cause it's a cold, wicked world we live in, and you know how it feels when things ain't going for the best, and the blues done got you down. So when I feel myself in this situation, I think what these soulful women taught me, and that was
sing
with soul. Can make you so full, can make you so full, broken heart can make you so full, can make you so full. I got my lesson today, yeah. I learned my soul in every way. I'm singing still, I'm still singing with soul.
Mushroom Records. Vancouver, same label that was putting out Dreamboat Annie Hart, was putting out Jason Hoover in 74.
And Jerry Doucette.
And Jerry Doucette, indeed. Local Canadian legendary stories. Big up to them, at least, for putting out your album and trying to get you to a bigger audience. It worked. The music business, it's a terrible business. You've had some fun with it, though.
I had fun with it, but it blew my mind when I went down to Los Angeles, because I was up in home with Mushroom, and I was talking to the executives there. They said that they're still just in Canada. I walk into Tower Music just off Sunset, and there's a big picture of me, the album cover. It's actually me, and the snake, wow. And the tree, and the little apples everywhere, and I'm blown away.
It's a very unusual cover. Now, tell us the story of the cover.
Now, the story of the cover
for the Mushroom Records album.
Yes, it was done by one of the greatest newspaper photographers ever, who's no longer with us. He's with the dearly departed. I would just like to say that they lie a lot in the music business. I mean, my record was sold. People were phoning me from Milwaukee and Chicago, my relatives, saying, "Oh man, I love your album, Jason. Yeah. I love it." But we had them investigate it. I had one of the best entertainment order lawyers possible. He's dead now too. But anyways, to make a story short, we couldn't find the proof. Couldn't find the proof.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sad that it didn't achieve the level of success, but at least internationally, this next track that we're going to go out with, Show Me Some Slack, which, to me, and this is a compliment, Willie Hutch at his best and most soulful sounds as great, but this is your own composition. Did you play guitar on this track?
No, I didn't. The guitar player from Heart Dead?
The same studio.
Oh, yeah. I needed a guitar player who was the best.
Well, the dude was really good. Is amazing guitar player. Yeah, this is an amazing track, and it's known internationally.
I wanted to make it sound. It is known internationally. It really is. It was one of the hits that weren't a hit. Our hits were She's My Lady, Love Will Get You, along with
Riding
the Disco. And I hit this, but this is a late comer. This was a late bloomer. This Show Me Some Slack. It just because people have finally gone into listening to
because
other
it's
tunes.
Quality. The quality has lasted.
Thank you.
Last song, Sing With Soul. The quality has lasted.
There you go.
It's a fantastic album, and you know what? The quality has lasted with all of the stuff we played tonight, and I think David George would agree. I mean, this material is phenomenal. Through your whole career. Thank you very much, David, for coming and being a part of this.
Come around here. I just want to tell everybody that even though the music industry, after talking to Tommy James, and he told me he wasn't making any money on Crimson and Clover, which was one of the biggest sellers ever on anybody, he told me the money is being and doing the actual show, concert. That's where you make your money. The record company is just a sign, he told me, saying buy my records. That's it.
But coming up with the basement
money, you have to have gold records, platinum records, where you can go in with your lawyer and say, we want, now he's a gold record or platinum record, we want at least $200,000 for his living, and the other $800,000 I want for him to continue recording.
Yeah. Your career has been diverse. It's had some ups and downs, but you know what? Still today, we can put your records out again, buddies. We're gonna keep on.
It'll be nice to see the Jason's greatest songs out on the market again. That'd be
absolutely
wonderful.
Buddy. Well, listen, like you said, we're gonna do this again. Thank you so much for coming all the way from way out in the close to the US border, way out in the far reaches of Surrey, all the way down here to UBC, down to my record shop. We made that community. Something. We got David George involved. We got Rob from Neptune Records involved, Vinyl Records involved. This was a community event in putting together the important history of Jason Hoover. So thank you.
Thank you very much, you guys. This means so much to me. You just don't understand. I've always dreamed this might happen, but now it is.
It won't even be the last time. So absolutely, we're going out with fantastic tracks. Show Me Some Slack. I'm David Love Jones. You've been listening to Jason Hoover. And so peace and love to you, my friend.
Oh, back at you. Baby,
but you can't relate to my financial state, then you don't seem to care. Give me some slack, baby.